Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, I mean, do people like the sophisticated sort of game, do they?
The more complicated that the games are, the more the people like to play them.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Ben Vanel here, Tommy. It's great to be back, boys. Adam?
Yeah?
You're opposite me.
I am. I'm here in 2023, though. We're back in the room for the new year.
Yeah.
New year, same attitude.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It, my attitude, my rules. Don't like them? Jump off! That's my attitude. It's gruff and uninviting.
You ever told
I'm
going to
change it for this year.
Thank fuck.
You ever told anyone to go jump in your real life?
I don't think I've ever even told someone to go fuck themselves or sort of never like a...
You haven't been driving for years. So.
No retaliatory things starting with a go.
I've told
go easy on me, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Be
yeah,
nice. Yeah. That's mostly my...
I've told so many people to go fuck themselves, but I've never told someone to go jump.
I've said a go fuck yourself to like the TV or to like an email or something I've seen online, but I've never delivered
on the TV that you said go fuck yourself to.
Great, great question. A few of the
9 out of 10 dentists recommend go fuck yourself.
A few of the absurd leaps of logic in the last season of Game of Thrones.
Whoa.
Go fuck yourself. No.
Wow.
No, you know, like just seeing something online that irks me. Yeah. I've said it at a screen, mm-hmm. but never delivered it point blank face to face.
Yeah.
But you have been.
And I'm getting more confrontational as I age as well.
Fuck.
So
this should be the year for it.
Yeah.
We'll start saying go fuck yourselves to any developer that crosses us by making a substandard game.
You know who I won't be saying go fuck yourselves to?
Who?
The showrunners of the new HBO series The Last of Us.
Yeah. Well, we don't know yet, I guess, but we'll find out week to week.
Yeah.
Well, the Associated Press so far is firmly anti them going and fucking themselves.
Yeah. They're like, go fuck me.
Yeah, because you've made a great show.
That's right.
And that makes me horny.
It is one of the most... Creativity is attractive.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And we're going to create for the 9 weeks of the show a companion podcast for it. We thought about like whether we'll talk about... Because obviously Last of Us show will be big and it's to do with video games and we were going to watch it anyway. So we're thinking about like whether we'll watch it and talk about it on here or on like the Patreon or whatever. We've set up a different separate podcast to keep it all nice and cordoned off like the military areas in the HBO hit show The Last of Us.
Right, okay. Or like the finale of, you know, James hosting The Tonight Show. Cordon off.
Sure.
That
okay.
might be what he says right at the end. Go fuck yourselves, yeah. everybody. Yeah. How about you go fuck yourself?
Yeah.
I got to say it.
Yeah. So it's called, and this name took a lot of deliberation.
We really thought about it for ages.
Yeah.
So you'll know that this is going to be an unimpeachable name with no issues that's discoverable and inviting.
That's right.
And the name is Clicker, I Barely Know Her.
That's true.
Let's pause for the applause.
People, go fuck yourselves, yell people to a podcast for the first time.
In the vein of Arya talking to me, basically the dumbest name that we could think of.
You might be listening and you might think, is that the best name they could have come up with? Mm. And we'd invite you to sit down and work on an idea for a title that is obvious that it's about the show Last of Us and also funny. And you get back to us and let us know what you come up with.
Maybe
not as easy as it might seem.
You might also run through the fart of ass or any of the others that I can't even remember what we did. But yeah. Clicker, I Barely Know Her is the name. And then I think it says A Last of Us Recap Podcast, which is what it is every week after the show. We'll be putting that up. Well, we'll be recording it first and then putting it up.
Mm-hmm.
So same as Arya talking to me, like roughly a couple of hours after the show airs.
Yep.
We will do a little recap every week and talk about it, because it, by all accounts and all signs, it seems like it's going to be a good fun show, and it'll be good fun to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, we were waiting for the advance press to come out because we were debating what to do, and then we were like, let's just wait and see. This might be a big old 3 out of 10. Mm. And then reviews are really good. They had their big press premiere thing the other night.
Yep.
Nick Offerman on the red carpet being like, I got asked to do this, and honestly, I hadn't played a video game since about 1998. God, it's refreshing to hear.
Being here for games, though, there's a chance Nick Offerman played Metal Gear Solid, Half-Life, StarCraft, Ocarina of Time.
He's just been so busy with his career. He's like a big gamer, but yeah.
But now that the advanced press has approved, we as the delayed press will be coming up behind, like Ellie, one of the characters, and talking about it every week. I don't know yet. The first episode will be up on Monday. You can go follow it now, though. We'll have like a little just preview-y short clip there, so you can go follow the podcast. There'll be a link to it in the description of this one.
You can share that little clip with your friends. If they're maybe not big gamers, but are big, you know, prestige TV fans, they like recap podcasts, share that one around. It'll be, very similar to the Game of Thrones one Knox and I have done.
Yeah.
We'll just go through the episode beat by beat, chat about it, and make a few jokes. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it should be a good time. It'll be like a little TV book club.
Mm.
Come and join us at Clicker. I barely know her. So hopefully it'll be fine.
Cool to hear that it's good, though. Cool to hear that the response is...
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
People have... I mean, as soon as I saw, I think maybe it was The Guardian, was like, the best video game adaptation ever. I was in.
Low bar.
Pixels.
I'm low bar, but...
I'm still curious. Whatever that means for us, that's going to be pretty interesting to see.
Yeah.
And it does mean that you'll get, if you're not interested in watching it, you don't have to put up with us talking about it here every week or whatever.
That's
true. You've got a space where we can go and enjoy that together. Yeah, share it with your friends and watch along with us.
And
yeah.
If you have a friend that's watching it that doesn't play video games, well, hey, this could be their introduction to these three cunnies.
These beautiful boys.
Maybe they'll start. Maybe we'll ruin some lives over this.
Yeah.
Could be.
Right as PSVR2 is coming out, get them to pull out a second mortgage.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm so...
You pre-ordered, right?
With the option to cancel it. I've got it sitting there as a... to if I can manage it. But boy howdy, that thing's going to cost some money.
Yeah.
And... but I've saved a bit of money by playing some games I already had and hadn't gotten around to over the little break we took. Yes. How are your breaks?
Good.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Them's the?
Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very relaxing. Real, we should say we haven't taken it. The show has been rolling on every week, but in the real world, it's been about 2 to 3 weeks.
Couple of weeks.
Since we got together.
Yeah.
Just before Christmas we wrapped up. So we've had all the time since
but
then.
But the magic's still there, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we did a bonus episode like 3 days ago.
That's true.
But yeah,
we've had a little. Yeah, we've had a bit of time to just catch up on some stuff.
Yeah,
I made an effort to get into a few things that you guys had talked about on your end of year lists that I hadn't quite gotten around to or felt like they deserved a second look in. What have you guys been doing?
I did the same thing and then did the same thing, but with 2 years ago.
Okay. Yep.
And
yep.
Like went and looked at. Well, we'll talk about it. What about you in general?
I had gastro for a week, and I don't think I'd had it since I was a kid. Like properly, you just wake up and you're throwing up, and it's not because you are hungover. Like, I felt like, you know how when you get really sick, you just feel like a helpless child. It just really threw me back to that of like,
this guy had the man flu.
And where's me mum to hold the bucket under my, you know, like.
Well, the worst bit is then you start to like feel a bit better. But then, of course, you're so dehydrated because you've just gotten rid of like everything good out of your system. And it's very hard to continue getting that water in. So then you have your like couple of days where you're just like, just weak and fatigued.
Oh, that's
so having
awful.
To get those fluids back up.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate game, some might say.
Some might. I don't know if I'd trust their analysis on
Dr. That. Mario might say that. I also played some games. I played some much older than a couple of years ago, I think, from when they came out. Played a couple of games. Also did some DLC for one of my game of the years of last year. And watched a lot of TV and movies and shit as well.
All right. Primary school style, who wants to share with the class first what they did?
They managed it that way in your primary school?
Who wants to share with the class first what they did?
I feel
they just
like
let the kids decide? That's chaos.
Well, I had a terrible education.
What kind of fucking school is this?
I learned heaps about the different colours of jelly and very little about anything else.
Sure.
That was what we decided most of the time.
Show and tell.
Yeah, after you come back, everyone's like, what did you do on holiday? And you do a little fucking journal thing or whatever about it. Did you not do that?
In primary school, I think, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I once, when I got back in like, we'll call it year four, something like that, five maybe, around whenever Tamagotchis were big, they were like, this year we're going to do journals of our weeks or whatever, and be honest in there, tell us what, you, what you're feeling
tell
and all
us what
that
you
stuff.
Really think.
It was like...
Go fuck yourself, teach.
No, I won't say that. They're not on the TV. There was some, I don't know why it was like put to us to be like super... tell us the truth or whatever, or like it wasn't even tell us the truth, it was add some feeling into it, don't just describe as like a writing exercise, tell us about how you things felt during it. And I wrote one down and there weren't enough feelings in it, so he made me do it again, and then he made us read them out. And so what I had to read out to the fucking whole class was like that my Tamagotchi broke and so I cried and felt sad, and I like had kind of sarcastically I think written over the top feelings about it, but he's like, read it out. And I still remember that, and it's
the leap in the education system in the 4 years between me being in primary school and you being in primary school is staggering. Yeah. We just got right in the notebook, sit there and shut up, and then read it out if you want or don't. We don't care.
They would always tell. I wrote a journal thing once. I went to a bunch of different schools, and I had to write a journal about something that we did. I must have been over the holidays or something, but that same day they brought in ducklings in a box.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's duck had ducklings or whatever, or they'd found some, or I don't know where ducklings come from, because I still haven't learned that because of my terrible education. Mm-hmm. But I wrote about how excited I was to see the ducklings, and I remember this teacher fucking yelling at me, being like, you saw them today! That wasn't during your holidays or whatever you were meant to be writing about.
Yeah, but I'm eight and it's pushed everything else out of my
brain. I'm seeing a bunch of fucking ducks in a box. What am I meant to do other than write about the extremely stimulating thing in front of me? They were quacking during when everyone was writing. Right. What are you meant to fucking do? Write what you know.
That's
the rule. I'm on Stephen King's fucking level.
I saw some ducks in a box.
I remember in
prep. I wrote to Justin Timberlake with the same thing, and he was like, well, I didn't come up with the idea for Dick in a Box, definitely.
That song is an adaptation of your school journals.
Right.
Yeah. I had Lazy Sunday that same weekend.
Again, your teacher's like, not enough happened.
I remember we had to do that Monday mornings in prep. We had to write about our weekend. And I remember there was one weekend where The Simpsons was pretty new on TV, and there was an ad for like, if you went on like the packet of Wonder White bread, there was like a, you know, it had Simpsons stuff all over it, and if you could cut off a little thing and send in to get something.
Right.
And I like begged my parents, like, can we go and get a thing of Wonder White so I can get a Simpsons prize? And so we went to the milk bar and I was like so happy. And so then I go to school on Monday morning, and in my journal I'm like, I got a loaf of bread. And it's like, Jesus Christ, is this kid being locked under the stairs? Like, that's the highlight of his weekend.
The teacher being like, oh no, I've gone back in time to a Victorian school. I played games as well. Do you want to hear about some of them?
Yeah. Let's go around the horn, right? Let's go game for game. What do you got, Knox? You're going first.
Conch in my
lap. Please, put some feeling into it.
All right.
Tell us how the game made you. What emotions you felt.
I played Marvel Snap and it made me feel scared for the amount of time.
I like this. Because
initially we talked about this. You guys both got real into Marvel Snap and I just, for whatever reason, didn't lock up with it.
Yeah.
Me and Ben got a beautiful message in the group thread on like December 27th or something at like 2 a.m. like, boys, it's hooked me. Yeah. We got him. Now watch this drive.
It's a really great, fun card game.
Yeah.
The rate at which you get your cards is not overwhelming, so the deck building feels natural as you go through. That's a problem I have with, and I think maybe part of why initially I didn't get super into it is because like, you get overwhelmed with possibility with like building a deck with the initial roster of cards.
Right, because they give you like 20 or something.
Whatever amount it is, it's enough to, and you don't know any of the mechanics yet, and you know, you're really thrown in there, and it does take you through it, but I just got overwhelmed enough by that. I was like, I don't care to learn about
this. I know
this.
What you mean. Right. I spent the first hours with the game. I didn't touch the deck building stuff. I was like, I'm just going to sit in this. I'm just going to get the ropes. And because, yeah, I started, you know, obviously it's easier to win when you're like lower levels.
Right.
So I was like, well, I'm doing well with this. Mm. Like, why would I shake it up? And then, yeah, you know, you start to see you like someone beats you with like a great combo and you start to go, okay, all right, maybe it's time to, or like you just keep getting this one and every time it comes up, you just have no use for it. So you're like, maybe I could sub that out for something else. But I just really let myself take ages with just the starter that it gives you.
And whatever it was over the break that just I had the time, I guess, to sink into that. You see the different stages. I forget what they're called, but the three, you know,
locations.
Areas, the locations that and you start to get a handle on which one of those might come up. And it just fucking got me.
Yeah.
When you start figuring out your first, like, oh, if I use this card but then do this card afterwards, then it doubles this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're in.
Yeah.
And everything's exploding and giving you like these animations, your frame breaking.
Oh.
You get your first card up to infinity and you're like, I'm the god of cards.
It's so good.
And I'm super into it now. I'm playing it every day.
Yep.
2 p.m. is when they refresh.
Oh, yes.
The missions?
The missions.
They go every few hours, but at 2 p.m. they give you that free 50 gems or whatever.
Yep, you noticed this, which I'd noticed too, and I was rapt to hear someone else pick this out.
Yeah.
That the guy who, like the voiceover guy, who when you upgrade a card, the first stage of it is like he'll go frame break, but then the next one
and
is
then
animated.
Then he goes 3D, and it's like, you know, he's milking it. He's doing a big narrator announcer, like in the left corner,
absolutely.
And he's going frame break, and then 3D, and then the third one.
And then for
one,
animated, it's like they've gone, now this is blown out. We've only got literally half a second of studio time left, so you got to get that in as quickly as you can.
And it sounds like he'd already left the building, and they had to call him back or something. And it's out of breath.
It's Krusty the Clown doing the vocals for his doll.
It goes, frame break, 3D, animated.
Animated.
It's the weirdest. And then the rest after that are all normal again.
Right. Animated.
Infinity. Like, animated.
He's kind of worried. He's like a bit pained.
He sounds like Robin Williams.
Yeah, yeah. Animated.
Animated.
Oh, you've got a frame break. Oh, the Mona Lisa.
Break,
oh, she's not smiling. Oh, she's breaking out of the frame. Oh.
Oh, the frame break. It's very funny. And just, it's a really well made. I didn't realize that, like, at least one of the lead developers and designers of it is an ex-Hearthstone developer. They've gone off and made their own studio. So that, I think learning that was something where I was like, oh, okay, I guess that maybe that has me a bit more interested, because that's the one other sort of deck building-y card game, or video game at least, that's really sucked it for me. So
many abilities on the like cards and the locations. They're all like, there's so many of them. They're all so well thought out. And especially when you start playing it, you realize like there are so many different locations that come up.
Mm.
And they've all got like, just seeing a new one turn over for the first time and being like, okay.
And there's
this
some
is
that
interesting.
Can completely fuck up a strategy.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't rely on any one strategy because, you know, you draw a pretty small number of cards.
Mm.
So you can't have like this one card that your whole thing hinges on, or you'll often get fucked.
Yeah.
So I have enjoyed building like a kind of improvisey sort of deck that's trying to fuck up the other person.
Ooh, an impro deck. Nice.
It's I can't be. I'm inviting a bunch of people from my uni.
You got a tall lady.
My deck.
You almost refused to improvise a response.
I know, because it was just
it's too many.
They're all written already. Is the problem. You can't improvise a new improv joke.
Yes.
They've all been done.
I do find, like, have you set up, both of you guys, because I don't know, have you set up multiple decks?
I've got one main one and then sort of an experiment one that I'll go in and change to try a new thing.
Right.
But I've really got one main one that I'm pretty much going
with. I've got, like, I think I've got five, but I'm kind of, I'll just kind of decide I want to just completely...
Right.
I might every now and then sub one out for another one if it's like I said, that card that every time it's coming up, I'm like, this is fucking not pulling its weight.
Right.
But then if I decide I feel like a change, I'm just like, well, I still want to keep this old one here just in case I want to come back to it. So I'm kind of like, Yeah.
And you see somebody else do something where you're like, damn, I'm taking that.
Yeah.
Especially with the like self-destruction sort of decks where there's a bunch of cards that get abilities if they get discarded.
It's actually a sick game to lose at. It's one of the few things that's like, if someone really fucks you in the ass, it's like, man, they've played, you know, it's like you're watching a true ballet.
And if you haven't tried it still and sort of forget what it's about, you've got these three locations and you're trying to get generally the most power at those locations, and every card has a certain power attached to it and usually has some other ability too.
And a cost.
And so there's six turns normally, and you get one extra energy each time. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, obviously, but it doesn't carry over. And so it means that certain cards can usually only be played on certain turns and whatever. But having those three locations that you're vying for, it's exactly the right amount, because like you can set up a decoy location that it looks like you're going for, but actually you're going to sneak in and snake the other two, and playing those mental games with people and trying to predict what their one is going to be. I love that about it.
It's got a bit of poker about it, because when you snap, it's basically upping the ante. And that can be a bluff as well, which I don't. And it's good that you can't like match with people yet on purpose, because I'm telling everyone that I just snap from
the
start.
I snap straight away.
I just want the most possible points, honestly, and I believe in myself.
Yeah.
It's a good way to lose a bunch of points, though.
It is.
Those points, if you win or lose a match, you either win or lose the agreed upon number of points, which will be, you can double it if you snap.
Yeah.
And but the thinking behind that and trying to figure out this person who you can't really communicate with, there's some like emotes and stuff people don't generally use those.
I've never seen anyone use them.
Like, you get it from time to time.
Yeah.
You'll do the little fist bump or whatever with people, but or get a, what just happened? Or
whatever. Right.
What has happened?
He's behind me, isn't he? But like the, the meta in my head of where they're likely to play one of the Guardians of the Galaxy, who will get extra.
They're like power. Double their power if you play a card there. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So like on a first turn, you'll often get a Rocket Raccoon out.
Yeah,
but they'll try and play that on the left one if they're trying to do it. Mm-hmm. If they're trying to do a card where Rocket won't affect it, they'll often play it in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go for the right one if I don't want them to get it. But if I've got a Rocket, I'll go in the middle. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It isn't real, but like.
It feels like playing poker or something like that, where it is a bit of a mind game that's based on chance and your strategy, how well you know the game. I'll tell you the decks I've got, and I've played it more than anyone I've ever met. Just for the we've talked about it on our groups and stuff, but for the listeners, I'm on collection level 1693.
Good lord.
And I've got a Tiger King deck, which is the one that uses Wong. And White Tiger.
It was big in March 2020.
And it's still relevant now. and then Odin. So basically, if you put down Wong, that doubles on reveal. You put White Tiger there, you send out two White Tigers that are like power, 7 power.
Yeah.
And then you drop Odin there, re-engages every on reveal. So then you basically fill all locations.
And then
White
you've got
Tiger.
The Carol Baskin card that destroys all the male cards on there.
That's right.
But that's a difficult one, possibly, because you've also got, you rely on drawing those individual cards.
And you rely on someone not putting Cosmo the dog down, which cancels all on
Cosmo
reveal.
Fucks you. Or if they chuck a hobgoblin somewhere.
Exactly.
That might, like, I love chucking a hobgoblin at people.
I mean, people talk about how the Marvel movies are like, I mean, we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel if we're getting Ant-Man in the movies and stuff. It's a real, Marvel Snap is a real education into how deep down that barrel really goes.
Yeah.
I want the Cosmo the dog movie. Oh, you know, I want
give
fucking,
me the Kazar trilogy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Give me Lizard.
Well, it's Tarzan. I've got a discard deck. So like
that's the kill your own cards.
Yeah, Morbius grows in power every time you discard something, and then if you got Hela, she brings back every discarded card. So that's a good one. Destroy, like you said before, Nox, the self destruction deck.
And if this sounds like, if you're not into this game, and you like, honestly, please give it a go.
Yeah,
at the 23 minute mark.
I know that's why I bring it up, because it's like, if you hate this, I challenge you.
Oh, it's like we're talking about chess. You know, it's like, well,
yeah.
It's a very deep game, but you can also not give a fuck about it.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't give a shit, go give it a go. And I honestly think there's a higher chance of you giving a shit than everything about this game makes it seem like there would be.
Well, there's a case to be made that this is the only game we should talk about on this podcast ever because it's on phones and it's free. So it's one of the few things
so
that there is no financial or hardware barrier to anyone listening to have a go at this.
The same way you got this podcast.
Yeah.
It's on Pocket Casts.
But I've also got a Mischief deck, which it sounds like is what you're doing, Nox, and a Fun deck, which is just like, there are some, like, and I've got so many cards now. There's just some
you can't
really
name them, can you? That's annoying.
Yeah,
you can go can now.
Yeah, hit on like deck five.
I think you
couldn't
for a little while
and redo it.
Yeah.
I've still just got him as deck three is the one I'm using.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah,
it's a good fun game. Don't be judgmental of it in the way that I think I was.
Mm.
Give it a sincere crack, and I reckon it's a lot more fun than it makes any sense for it to be.
It's not a loot box. Like, it has loot boxes, but it's not a unfair. You know,
it's so easy to not spend money on. Like,
you can play infinite games without, like, it doesn't. The barrier is in increasing your card collection and that sort of thing. But I really haven't found, after playing it, you know, quite a bit for the last couple of weeks, any urge to spend money on it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's not doing that fucking Candy Crush thing of like, you're out of lives, don't play till tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can do as many matches as you want. And you're just earning stuff most of the time.
Yeah.
It's a good time. And I've had a good time with it over the break.
Well, a couple of games that I bought very cheap, not as cheap as Marvel Snap, but pretty cheap, were the Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes.
Oh, yes.
They were like, I don't know, $15 each or something. Like, I think they were on sale, but I fucking loved them.
Thank God.
I kept you guys in the loop as I was going through them because I know that you guys, really liked them both.
Ben kept sending us messages being like, ah! Every time he gets scared, he'd send, yikes!
He kept sending us videos of himself with the night vision camera on and just his popcorn going everywhere in front of the TV.
But then late one night, I just sent you like, brains, and you're like, oh no, you must have died that level, shit. But fuck, they're good. I'd never played the originals.
Mm-hmm.
I dabbled a bit with the very first one. I think probably like the HD, you know, re-release or whatever.
Like the GameCube that they've.
It would have been that one, and had only previously really played 8 all the way through and most of 7, but. Fuck, they're good. They're just that classic Metroidvania thing.
This is heaven, because I feel like we've been trying to get you onto 2 Remake for some time now.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
I just needed the time, really.
Yeah, and it is a perfect, it's not very long. It's a perfect one to fit in that little Christmas New Year week.
And it's 2 specifically is just so intelligently designed. All of that stuff that...
I think it was Evolution that did it, but... Everyone can have their own opinions about things.
Clearly,
Resident
went to different
Evil
schools.
2, the atheist's nightmare.
just so clever. Like, getting so much gameplay out of a small area, going back and back every single time when you unlock something new, and feeling more in control. You know, feeling more mastery over the space, which initially is so terrifying. I did find the tyrant third of the game to be kind of annoying because he's just following you everywhere and you're like, I just want to go and unlock the door, you know? But
yeah, that is kind of classic Resident Evil where like the 2/3 of it are awesome and then there's like a late pivot into something that's just like a different game, which is generally not as good.
Right.
There's a high level of pressure that gets applied to you at some point in those earlier ones too, like that can be stressful.
Right. I agree though. You're fucking around in the library or whatever, trying to solve the puzzle or work it out, and then you hear those footsteps, and you're like, oh, now we gotta like leave and run around and do a lap. It does kind of feel at times, sort of a little at odds of what you're being asked to do, because it's like, well, this isn't a challenge in its own right. This is just like a thing that is. Just getting in the way of me doing something that's already a puzzle kind of thing.
The times when he shows up and freaks you out, I think for me are worth the times when you're right, it is a hassle to just do the thing that is easy to do to deal with him.
Just a bit of padding of time, it feels like,
It's also cool though, like just this guy just like, it makes it feel very like, real and...
Yeah. Right.
Knocking his hat off.
Knocking his hat off.
But yes, after a while, after you... stop finding it scary. It's just like, all right, I'm just going to run around you, hopefully. You know, and like it, losing a bit of that horror movie tension. And then, 3, at the start, I wasn't as into it. And I'm still not as into it as I was with two, and it's much more action packed, but it still is fun to be in that world. And I'm really excited for four. Like, I having played, you know, a bit of it already and in VR, which was very fun, I'm keen.
Ream the fork.
Ream fork.
Ream
Ream
fork. Make.
The ream fork. yeah.
And four is like the original version of it is closer to the style that they did the 2 and 3 remakes in.
Mm.
And so, yeah, four remake will hopefully be great. The did you play it on the PS5?
Or yes.
Because they did patches for those games, I believe, since the PS4 versions, like to have them be PS5 upgraded with ray tracing and whatever. Like, did you notice any of?
Yeah, I noticed that it ran like shit with ray tracing on.
That makes sense.
It was really Everything disappointing. Does. Like, it just it didn't run properly. So yeah, I just had to put it on like, it probably said performance mode, but just normal mode, and it still looked great, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was noticeable. That if yeah, that's my one criticism is like, the ray tracing mode doesn't work on PS5. That's
ray bizarre. Tracing, yeah, is like, it feels like we did jump the gun on that a little bit of like promoting it as this big part of what these consoles can do, because they kind of can't.
No, on PC, then like absolutely. Like if you got that graphics card, it like enhanced Cyberpunk when I first played it and all that stuff. But it just did feel strange that it's like, these are old, or you know, these are existing PS4 games that you've put ray tracing on a PS5. Why isn't it at even 30 frames per second?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, given the choice on a game that's, cross-gen, which nearly all of them are, I just always have to go the performance.
Yeah.
It's great.
I want that smoothness. I can't go the fidelity, it being a little slower. It just makes me feel like the smoothness and the fluidity is what makes me feel like I'm playing a true, like, next-gen souped-up.
Life comes at you fast. So should your frame rate.
Oh.
That's what I always say, kid.
Oh, who's this character?
I'm a guy who sit down on a park bench next to him and he gives you wisdom, but only about games.
This is Bob Hoskins' Mario, I think.
Hey, kid, it's dangerous to go alone. Take this.
And then I hand you like a porno mag in a brown bag.
Yeah, nice.
What did you play, Tommy?
Yeah.
Well, do we want to do some... Do we need to have a quick word from the sponsors first?
Do we?
Do one first. And
okay.
Then we'll do
I feel like we might have much more to talk about. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of a beautiful looking game in performance mode.
Oh, yeah.
I played to completion Horizon Forbidden West.
Oh, yeah.
After you having it on your end of year list, Adam. And also... just here. It was on a lot of end of year lists as well. Like it was kind of one that, you know, as we talked about at the time and as happened to the first one, it just got immediately kind of swept under the rug a little bit because something so massive came out straight afterwards. And I felt like when we reviewed it, it was just spending so long on the intro and really keeping me at arm's length and just cutscenes and not really letting me do any of the fun open world shit. And then I remember you saying you're just kind of right at the point where it's just about to do that. And you were absolutely right. Yeah. I went back
I'm always right about video game things. I've lived a long life, kid.
I went back in and boy howdy, I had a great time with it.
It's awesome.
An open world game, especially in that little break week, is like is my favorite kind of thing to play. Very easy to just kind of like come to a, you know, do a little mission.
This guy said he played it to completion and he said it was easy to come to it. I think I know why he enjoyed it so much.
Because he found it accessible and played it all the way through.
You've got it.
Yeah.
Oh, the reversal.
I also think he's a virgin.
But yeah, for something that I think does get a bit, like it kind of goes under the radar for people a bit because it's another open world game and it has kind of a cool setting and stuff, but I don't know, I think people do have a bit of open world fatigue, and in terms of the things that it's asking you to do, like structurally, in the fact that it's an open world game, it's not really breaking the mold.
No.
But then there's so many systems in there of things that I think it's doing better than a lot of other examples of this type of game. Like,
okay,
the combat is so good. Combat in open world is often, you know, a lot of the time, well, what is it in like a GTA? It's like shooting.
Sure.
Like to have this mechanic that almost feels more like Monster Hunter,
right,
where you've got these weak spots and you could have a game that's just that, where it's like just these areas that you're going to and just fighting these like huge enemies that you have to scan and get the weak points and like shooting an arrow into the little, you know, gas canister on the back of it and that flying off and blowing it up and doing it damage is like so satisfying.
I think that's the thing as well, is you've got this big variety of enemies. Like there are just sort of people who you beat up in there too, but like for an Assassin's Creed or something, even those recent ones where they sort of revamped the combat and all of that, you're fighting dudes with axes and whatever for the entirety of the time.
Yeah.
Other than, I think, in like some of the DLCs, you're like fighting big Ragnarok and gods and whatever.
Yes, there's a few boss fights in even the Egypt one that are, a bit more classic boss fighty, but you're
right. But you're doing the same thing a lot of the time, so that variety of enemies helps with that open world bloat feeling because you're coming across ones who you've never even seen before, like quite
coming across ones
game.
Sounds like you spoofed your dax to this game, Knox.
I did constantly.
Yeah,
I'm surprised Tommy didn't. The fact that you're doing that like good fun combat, but again with
yeah, and like even getting your mounts, anyone to ride around.
What?
Like the traversal stuff where like any other game, you steal a car or you just like find a horse. This is like you have to like unlock the ability to be able to sneak up behind these creatures and like override them, and then you can like have them as your little steed and ride them around. Like that's a cool little, you know, twist on just that being able to like find a wild thing and, you know, ride it. Like the fact that you actually have to like do a challenge to unlock the ability to do that with each different type of creature that's in there. When you leave your creature like outside a you know, if you've gone into a building to do a quest or whatever,
tie it up outside the 7-Eleven.
But then you come out and it's like fought a whole bunch of other ones that have come along, like all this kind of stuff that's in there that I haven't really seen in. And it is just picking out all these kinds of things that have to exist in open world games, but in almost every aspect it's like adding a little thing on that's kind of cool and makes the world feel lived in.
Agreed.
I love the world. It just looks stunning on the PS5. I think you're right. I think it might be the best looking game, just in terms of
it's crazy.
Not just the technical side of it, but the design of it. Some of those areas it's taking you to are just breathtaking. It looks so good.
It really does. And I've seen criticism of it for looking a bit too busy and messy, like in a sort of like Michael Bay Transformers kind of way, which I can see. And
too much shit on the screen.
There's a lot.
I think that's true, but that adds to it for me. I like that.
It works here for whatever reason. Yeah. I hate the fucking scrap pile Transformers that they've got in those, but like
I know what you mean, but like there was a point where I paused it and I was fucking around with photo mode, and because it's just static, it's just a still image, you're kind of like, you know, moving around and doing the poses, and I was kind of experimenting with that, and then I unpaused it and just did going back into motion, and it's like literally every single like branch and twig and bit of grass that's on screen is going oof, like her hair's whipping around, right. There's like bits of dust and shit flying around. It's like that kind of just having it be static for a second just and then coming out of it reminded me like, oh yeah, there is a lot of shit going on screen at any given point in this. But it works.
I think so too. But yeah, I do. I see that criticism that people have. But I agree. And like, so you finished it off and like
finished
the rest of the main
story.
Cool story.
I didn't as I tend to do with these kinds of games, I didn't really engage with much of the side stuff or any of it. I just kind of, you know, locked on the path. I just kind of wanted to get through it all and see all the different areas. And there's still like parts of the map that I haven't been to that I guess side stuff takes you to. Mm. One thing I will say, and I'm sure this will be annoying to people that are already think we bang on about the Marvelification of script writing a bit too much. In contrary to nearly everything we've ever said about any other game, this series could use a bit more playfulness about it, I will say.
It can be
it's
a bit
very
dry.
Dour and very self-serious, and all the characters are like sort of just have the same kind of approach to towards the end. I really was finding myself like, I wouldn't mind a little bit more color in here.
I do think that a lot of that stuff is in some of the side missions.
Sure, sure.
And like particularly you've got your sort of like Mass Effect ship base where everyone hangs out, and you can go, and if you talk to them enough, they'll give you, you know, sort of like the loyalty missions from Mass Effect to go and do. And I liked all of that stuff in it too.
Yeah.
There was a bit more of that flavor
right
in there. But I agree that there can be some, for as much like there is like some pretty cool, ridiculous shit that happens, a lot of that The more interesting writing is in like those data pads that are lying around and stuff, which
is... Well, it's also, you know. I mean, it's the storyline and what's happening. It is all big, dumb anime bullshit. So it's for my personal tastes, I would have liked it to have like lent into the silliness of all that a bit more because it is very silly.
And there is
but
a way
it's really
you
treating
can...
it as like, it's all very... And it's like, yeah, it's a big fucking robot dinosaur. Come on.
And there is a middle ground between like, you know, super serious writing... And writing with levity, but that levity is like, hey, Mr. Big Robot, time to eat fist or whatever type of...
No, that's good. I think that's good. No, you're right. It's just like having personality that's well-written versus poorly written.
Have Aloy lean over to someone and go like, did that big robot just say that they were coming over here? I think that can mean a second thing sometimes.
That's true. There's not enough people taking a word that someone says and doing the other meaning of it in video games. That is the height of comedy.
That's ours. That's for us.
When we release a game, that'll be all it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest synonym comedians in the world.
But yeah, it's I had a great time with it, and you know, to go back to what you were saying about the PSVR, annoyingly, this is now being like super wrapped up in this world. This is the thing that's really making me. But hey, I didn't realize this until is that game not even coming out? I thought that was a launch date. It is launch date?
Yeah, but then there's also Horizon DLC that's coming out later in the year. You might be thinking of that.
Yes.
Yeah, there's that Burning Shores, I think, where you go to LA.
Yeah, that's like April,
May,
that's pretty
something
soon.
Like that.
And that looks sick. Well, that's the other thing too. Like, I'm really excited to see, as great as this looks, it is, there are still kind of bits of it where you can tell it's, you know, it's not, it looks great, but it'll be cool to see the DLC being a PS5 exclusive and just them pushing that as far as it can go rather than it does feel like bits of it are held back a little bit because it's having to run across two generations.
At times.
Yeah. Well, you know what won't hold you back, if anything? It will give you more freedom than anything ever before.
The sweet embrace of death.
Yeah, but until that comes, get a VPN.
Oh, you want to make sure you're secure and safe and pretending to be in a different country.
That's right.
While you're still here on this mortal coil.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as you can manage it.
I did a lot of viewing over the break, a lot of BBC, a lot of ABC, a lot of Netflix US.
Yep.
A lot of anime stuff.
Okay.
And brother... You best believe I was changing where I was living based on what gave me more access.
If I were going to do that sort of thing, I would use NordVPN. That would be my personal preference.
Oh, you know what? We're on the same wavelength here. Maybe
we
it's
both
cause...
just logged into the same server in East USA.
It could be because they're sponsoring this episode of the podcast, but NordVPN is the one I use, and it's the one that sprang to mind as well.
It's good. And yeah, they're sponsoring us still, and we continue to think that it's a pretty good product. If you're looking for a VPN, you can go get yourself a pretty good deal on it too. If you go to nordvpn.com/filthy,
that's right.
You get like a big fucking percentage whack off.
A real go fuck yourself discount, honestly.
But the good kind.
Yeah.
Like the Tony Soprano, he said it bad sometimes. You know,
he did sometimes say go fuck yourself in a
bad
way.
Every now and then.
That's
right.
Once in a
little
while.
Easter egg. So you could be like, Ben, you know, you could be sitting down to watch some BBC and change your location to bloody Nottinghamshire or whatever. Then you could go Netflix US and say I'm in Milwaukee. Then you could fire up some anime and say that you're sitting in the dead center of the Shibuya Crossing.
Yes.
You can honestly,
the world's your oyster.
You can live like a high-end fashion model simply with NordVPN.
That's how I view it. Yeah,
yeah, I've traveled.
I'm actually in Milan right now, but I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm part of the jet set.
So, NordVPN.com/filthy. You get a bunch of free months. You get a bunch of, you get like a bonus thing. Go have a look
you
for
do.
Yourself. Go to NordVPN.
Risk-free, 30-day money-back guarantee, which you will not need to use.
That's a full month.
It's genuinely the best VPN
actually, counting
out
in February, that's more than a month.
Oh, more value.
For the next coming up month.
They're the kings of value and queens. But yeah, nordvpn.com/filthy for all of that.
Also, before you die, I think it's worth trying to keep yourself in decent-ish nick.
Yeah.
And if you want to do that whilst using a product that will avoid as many nicks as possible. Manscaped is a good one to use.
Well, you don't want to die in the nude and then have everyone at your funeral talking about the ungodly state of your bush when you were discovered.
That's the thing. Grandmas always used to tell their grandkids, like, wear clean underwear.
Yeah.
What if you get hit by a car?
Yeah.
And the modern day version of that is a podcast telling you manscaped.com.
Keep it trim. Keep it tidy.
What if you get hit hit by a space car.
Yeah.
You can go to manscaped.com and again, use the code FILTHY. You get 20% off. Mm. You get free shipping and they make good shit. It's the way I personally prefer to keep my hair from taking over my body.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. We've all got the performance pack.
Yeah.
They sent us a while ago. You got the ear hair and the ear and nose hair trimmer.
Yep.
You got the lawnmower 4.0.
Top of the line.
Beautiful little charging stations. They got a little light on them.
Yeah, a little USB charger. Very handy.
Water resistant.
Yep.
They are water resistant.
The 4.0 is water resistant.
You got your little ball tonics and stuff like that they throw in.
It's good shit.
It's really good shit. And, you know, you're talking about Nicks. If St. Nicholas didn't bring you one, well, hey, bring yourself one.
Ask Stevie Nicks.
Oh, like maybe, okay.
She's still kicking? I don't know.
Someone from Fleetwood Mac died.
Yeah, the other lady.
Right. Well, rest in peace and manscaped.com for 20% off of free shipping. That's, use the code FILTHY.
That's no rumor. It's no rumors.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that everyone can see your tusk.
Ooh. I saw Tusk come up on like at a karaoke place. Okay. I was like, there's barely any lyrics to this song.
It's a lot of if you were doing like drum karaoke, that'd be a great one.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of karaoke by singing along to a song that everybody all knew the words for already, and the words were "Pretty Good Game."
Okay.
Hades. I played a ton.
Good Game.
I can't remember if either of you guys went super hard into Hades.
I went pretty hard. I never finished it because I found it difficult, but right. I loved it. I loved the art style. Like I've always loved Super Giants games. I love Bastion and Transistor and all of that. Oh, except for Pyre, but yeah, I did play a bunch of Hades. It wasn't like Game of the Year level for me, which like I think it won Game of the Year at the Game Awards.
Yeah, a lot of people are super into it in that way. I don't think I'm quite as like top of all time as some people. That was the thing that inspired me to do it, was like I saw some list of best games and was like, I'll go through this and whichever one I haven't played that's closest to number one, and it's your Super Mario Worlds and whatever, and then Hades was the first.
Hades was on a ton of, not just the awards thing, but ton of lists that year it was number one.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the first, one of the first kind of like indie and roguelites to really like break through. And you heard a lot of people be like, I've never enjoyed this style of game, and this is the one that's really cool.
I think it was because like obviously Rogue was the first one, Rogue Legacy.
Mm.
But yeah, I agree. I think it was the first one that I didn't immediately go, nah, I hate this. Yeah. Where's my progress? You know.
Yeah.
Rogue
Legacy. When was Dead Cells? Well, Rogue was the old computer one.
Who gives it?
You can look up your own history if you want, but my history over the last couple of weeks with Hades.
We did the history of video games about 2 years ago. Go listen to those.
Go look at it.
Yeah. But a lot of people said like the storytelling and the writing was the thing that kept people coming back and sticking with it. I never personally found that to be that engaging, but what did you think of it?
I liked it enough. But the main thing is that it is just a really fucking fun game to play.
It feels great. Yeah.
If you're going to make a game where the whole point of it is to replay the same four levels again and again and again with, and that's it.
Yep.
Then make sure the game is fun. And damn, they have.
I think with the writing, it might even be a case where it's like those kinds of things generally have like none of that kind of stuff. It's literally just like, hey, go through this room and then now you're dead and you're back at the start. So the fact that there is kind of like that stuff actually kind of like unfolds story-wise over the course of your playthroughs is kind of like what people found cool about it.
And I liked the way it was sort of unraveling that like web of what's going on here, because it really fucking throws you in.
The art's cool.
The art looks good, and the characters are all pretty, like, I was excited to go and talk to each of them in between each run to go and get more of that stuff. And like, it's not so constant that it becomes a drag at any point. It's not like Neon White or something where it's like
you're just skipping everything,
like doing this chore to get a thing. Like, I enjoyed it and thought the writing was decent and the voice acting was pretty good. And got into the sort of overall story, because you get out and then you have to get out. I mean, but it's a couple years old now and I'm not going to actually spoil anything, but it keeps going for way longer than it seems like it might.
Right.
As you start it, like it doesn't just end at getting out.
Yeah.
And you've just got so many different options with, so if you've never played Hades, it is a roguelike sort of game where you are doing this top down. What's that fucking
isometric
word? Isometric combat that is very zippy and speedy. You've got six different weapons that all feel very different as well, almost to the point of like not a fighting game, but like the way that you can expand upon each of these weapons with the different abilities that you're getting every run gives you this huge breadth of options in how you fight. And and it's always great when a game finds a good way to do this. You're forced to experiment with that stuff because you're getting basically random power-ups as you go through each time, and you've got an impetus to pick different weapons because each run one of them will get you more gems or whatever.
Yeah.
So it does a good job of getting you not to just fall onto one way of playing it and repeat and repeat and repeat. So the variety stays there.
Yeah.
You're getting these different Greek gods giving you different power-ups, which like each of them has sort of a theme with the type of power-ups they'll give you. And there's a whole bunch of them, but it'll be things like your attack now also shoots out this wave of damage, or your special attack now restores your life a little bit every time it hits, and things like that where you're having to sort of improvise this build of your character every time you go through. And I just found that really addictive.
Mm.
And the core movement of your character feels great.
Yeah.
It's you've got like a dash, a hit, a second bigger hit, and like a cast ability, which can become a bunch of different things, but it shoots out a limited number of ammunition.
Mm.
And It changes up with each weapon, where like one is a shield and you really have to use it as a shield, and it's an effective shield, and like it feels like you're just meant to frisbee it like Captain America or whatever, but you're meant to shield yourself like Captain America.
Oh, it's easy to remember the distinction. Yeah.
Just use this simple mnemonic device. Don't be Captain America, be Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
It's
no surprise that you like it, because it's basically slightly more 3D version of Vampire Survivor.
Absolutely, really similar to that. Yeah. That was, and especially because the two icons on my desktop were one on top of the other.
Right,
I made that same comparison, and then the other one was Diablo.
Yeah,
I went
yeah.
back to Diablo 1 for some reason. Oh, so literally, sick. Those three yeah. are sitting there, one on top of the other.
If only you just merged them into one.
You can do it.
Yeah,
it's called Hades.
Yeah, it is Hades.
it's a really there's enough of a period of time when you first start playing it that it could put you off easily, I think. And it did for me at the time, I believe. I think I played a bit of it at the time. And I played it on the Switch at the time, and then got the PC version on a sale here, which had a cross save, which was nice.
Oh, great.
But
God, I wish that was more common.
Yeah. They had to, like, it's clearly being run through their own servers or something, because you've got to, like, sign up to some other thing with your email address on your Switch, which feels like you're getting scammed.
Right,
it's so weird. Like, I know I bought this game and I know it's on the Switch, so I'm probably not, but it really felt like someone was phishing my information to log into a web page on a Switch game.
Yeah.
But on the PC, it feels fucking great.
Yeah.
And it just is so tuned. Like, this is one of those ones where I think the fact that it was an early access game for so long, you can tell how much that has allowed them to really fucking hone this game, where it is just this, like, pretty perfectly made thing for what it's trying to do. It doesn't really fuck any of it up.
Yeah.
And there's enough like different twists on each run and different little secrets that you find and new things that you get and different wrinkles in the characters you're meeting and whatever, that it is pretty Moorish. I did hit a point with it where I don't think it's really designed to be played in a big, big chunk.
Right.
Okay.
Especially because of its repetitive sort of nature. Mm. I think it's better maybe spread out, where I did get a little worn out on it and I don't think it quite sits in like my top of whatever I've done, but it's just such a well-made game. I'm really looking forward to the sequel now too.
Yeah.
Haven't played something that like honed and just like sheened in a fair while.
Well, you mentioned this before, but I spent a bit more time with Vampire Survivors.
Yeah.
Because I'd played very little of it, and it, like you guys were saying, it's very, does take a few kind of goes around to really, really reveal the kind of chaos that it's capable of. Mm. and the unlocking different levels and the like different weapons and characters and stuff. What a fucking great game.
There's so I've much had in to, there. I've,
same with Marvel Snap, actually. I was really hitting both of them pretty hard right before Christmas and had to instigate a bit of a ban. Really have had to limit myself from those two
I
games.
I saw something, maybe in our Discord or somewhere, I can't remember, and I don't think I went and verified this information, but I think the guy who made Vampire Survivors used to, his day job used to be making slot machines.
Yeah.
No, I think that's true. Yeah, I think that was part of this.
And boy, you can tell.
Story, yeah.
Yeah, especially those little treasure chests that you get. That's very slot machine aesthetic.
I think you're well ahead of me in it now. Like,
really?
I don't think I've even got to the second level.
Like, oh, really? Right. Yeah. I'm up to the third.
I just really enjoyed what I did play.
Right. The third, I'm finding it pretty hard to get beyond.
Yeah, right.
There's so much stuff in, like, that bonus or unlockables menu that, like, it's worth going through and just deliberately trying to get that stuff every run.
And it kind of doesn't... There's a lot of stuff in there that you do kind of have to like poke around with a bit. Like it doesn't... It'll
it's not
tell
clear
you,
at
it'll
first.
Come up with a menu and it's like, sure, but what is this? Right. It doesn't really tell you, hey, if you do this, you'll get this.
It's cool. It's almost like an old-fashioned kind of like... It's intriguing in the way that like... an NES game that you didn't have the fucking instruction book for would have been back in the day, you know?
Well, you know like, what it reminds me of in a good way? It feels like a fake game from like a movie. You know how they're always like very simplistic and like it feels like the kind of game that like Bart Simpson would have played in like season one of The Simpsons. You know, it was always Bart used to be a gamer and he's kind of not anymore. Like there's
he fell off, didn't he?
Yeah. He really did. Bonestorm, there's that boxing game that he's like smashing Homer at and he's getting
the
really...
the whole problem he had with his mum around Bonestorm when he got that... It's probably wrecked it for
him. Yeah, I that's think fair. So, yeah. That's probably it.
He's had to be like, no, I didn't even want it. It's okay. Yeah. I'm more into skateboarding. It's
and
okay,
he got
it's
that
fine.
Golf game after it.
That's right. Oh, yeah. But you can totally picture this in like a movie where, you know, someone's like, you know, nephew is like playing a game and they're like, what's that rod over there on the screen? And it, you know, because it's like you can just get so much context from just like
zombies.
3 seconds of it. Just like pew, 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 pew. And just like, you being a real gamer watching it going like, that's not fucking what games look like.
Yeah.
So overly
the
simplistic.
Dad trying to bond and be like, so what do you do here, Timmy? Well, you move around and the thing shoots the vampires.
You
like,
picked
all
up
right,
the, you
buddy.
You gotta get the garlic. You need to power up the garlic.
Garlic is OP. Don't you ever talk in acronyms again.
But yeah, great game. Free on the mobile, if that's the only way you have access to it, or
it's
if
much,
not...
It's much more fun on PC, I feel like.
Yeah, at the very least, you need like a little backbone controller or something.
Right.
But if you don't have the PC, it's a pretty fun way of playing it, because all you're doing is moving around.
It's on Xbox as well.
Yep.
You know what's on everything, I think, except for the phone, is Olly Olly World.
Yes.
This game was pretty high on my top 10 list, I think, from memory. When it came out, I was like, this is my game of the year, but it was pushed down by a couple of games that came out soon
after. It came
after.
Out in like January.
It did. But what came out later than that was the DLC.
Yeah.
There's two DLC packs, Void Riders and I think something about the entering the Flow Zone.
Okay. Now, you, because, yeah, so this is another one where you took, I had played a fair bit of this when it came out, but I had it on Switch and so I went back and got it on PC.
Yeah.
After you talked about it on the game of the year. How do you get, like, because those DLC things come up on the screen for me.
Mm.
Can you access them just immediately?
No, I think you have to go and buy them.
You have to unlock them in the game, maybe? I thought I had bought the deluxe pack, but anyway, maybe
you
I didn't.
I think you do for the Void Riders one. I think you have to have reached a certain point in the game.
Right.
And then the Flow Zone one is like a separate area. Maybe, again, you have to clear some amount of levels.
Right. Everyone just be a little bit sensitive around Benny's entering the Flow Zone, if you know what I mean, at the moment. So just be gentle.
Wow, we lost the 3% of women listening to the podcast.
I think they appreciated it because I said be gentle.
Ben's
be
rad auntie is in town. She's kick-flipped her way into his house.
What I did, I did...
I think Libra Air is a type of tampon and also would be a skateboarding thing.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Yep.
That's a bit of synergy there.
Yeah.
Ladies,
I've not done
let us know what
it.
You think of this.
I ended up buying the game for a third time.
Fantastic.
On PS5 because, I mean, I bought it on Switch because I wanted to play it on the
couch. On
the couch,
yeah, sure.
And it just doesn't run properly, so...
The load times were what? I was playing Olly Olly World on, and it was running fine. Like, the levels were you know, smooth enough and everything for
me.
But we had fucking long load times
and
on that Switch.
I think even the menu, like, wasn't, you know, moving smoothly from
right.
Like, it was...
It's definitely one of those things that maybe is a bit more noticeable when you've played that other version of it.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
Like Cult of the Lamb was that.
Right. Right. Yeah. There was a few things.
The
on
Switch is
by
dead.
The end. Yeah.
Long live the Switch.
But it's the ultimate version of Olly Olly World. It, for me, is the PS5. So I just bought it, played the whole thing, like the main sort of thing, through again from the start, which again is pretty hefty for a skateboarding game. There's like, I think maybe 6 worlds with about 15 stages in each, but there's also 3 challenges in each stage.
Yeah.
There's a challenge to complete them without using checkpoints. There's obviously like the points, like there's 3 levels of points that you can hit to, you know, unlock stuff. So it's lots of content in the game. So I did all of that again, and then I played these DLCs. So, and the Void Riders one is, there's an extra mechanic where there will be on this, and for anyone who hasn't played it, it's a 2D skateboarding game.
It's basically a platforming endless runner type of thing. You're like jumping from pole and like automatically moving basically, but you can speed up.
Speed up, grind and jump, ollie over gaps and shit like that.
Just pushing directions rather than buttons to like do the tricks and things. It's very simple. And yeah, closer to one of those type of endless runner platformers. It's really fun.
Yeah. So yeah, Void Riders introduces the mechanic of, there'll be basically a little patch of the screen. It's like, you know, a purple holographic sort of zone that's like being projected down from a spaceship.
Okay.
So when you're going through that and holding down the, I think it's the right stick to grab, you basically move upwards. You move upwards like it's being, you're being tractor beamed up into a UFO, but obviously as you have forward momentum, it's just kind of moving you up, you know, forwards, upwards into the air. And so when you go through that zone, you do a trick, you'll, you know, fly up into the air and then land on a grind rail. And it's utilizing that sort of physics mechanic to get through new stages.
Okay.
And so there again, there's like a, you know, 20 odd new stages with harder challenges, basically. Like it is a little bit of a step up from the main game. There's other sort of, you know, boss character things, you know, challenges, I guess, to do. There's a few of them in the main story level or the main, you know, campaign of like beat this bear down the rapids, you know, and all you have to do really is get through the level as quickly as possible.
Bears are quick.
Yeah, and he's in a little tube, I think, you know, in a little inflatable.
That would make him slower, probably. He'd be freaking
out. Yeah. But it's, a few more things like that. There's a few more levels that are more like go back and forth through this like void zone, like I said, and, you know, collect these crystals. And so you just like go through it once, grab a few, go back through it, you know, and you're just trying to avoid obstacles and shit. So there's like different challenges to just completing levels.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the flow one is there'll be basically like little gust of wind patches that like fling you forwards, give you heaps more momentum, and it's just kind of more fun. Like you're getting more air, so you're doing more tricks.
I do love a DLC that's not just like, here's a few more levels. It's like, let's just bring in a fucking raft of crazy new mechanics and just like completely turn the game on its head.
That's it. And the visual design of the game itself, the base game, is so sick and progressed as you went through the stages, but it's even more, creative and interesting in these DLC packs. And, there's just as much sort of unlockable stuff. And
cool.
I've been playing a bit of the multiplayer as well, which is just like the game will generate a new stage and then you just try and get the highest score you can. And, you're unlocking like cosmetics and skateboards and, you know, hats and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, the more you play. So I haven't like 100%ed it by any means. It's really hard to get those high scores, but still a fucking great game.
Not for me. I find it easy to get the high scores, actually.
Really? So you got the platinum trophies? If we'd be able to see that?
About a million points, actually.
Whoa. Wow, a million.
Wow, a mil.
About a million.
Actually
3 million.
That's way more than 1 million.
That's like double or triple.
Yeah, well, you know, 5 million, 6.
Oh, this keeps going up.
Guesses are very approximate.
That's so, you really undersold yourself with 1 million.
Pretty big number, so can't be too accurate about big numbers. You know, you'd know that if you knew big numbers.
I mean, when it comes to paying tax, I think you're right. The higher it goes, the less accurate you really
zero, about
have
zero.
To be.
About zero.
Well, I've been, you know what I've done in the last couple of weeks? I've dug out the old Nintendo 3DS.
That's crazy.
Catching up on a couple of games on there, and also just very aware that eShop is shutting down soon. So I wanted to grabble up a couple of the things that never quite got around to on there. There's also a couple of things that have been re-released on there that don't look like they're going to be re-released on anything else anytime soon. So like the first Luigi's Mansion I wanted to have, there's those that remake of the first Mario and Luigi RPG.
Sure.
What else did I get on there? Oh, the Donkey Kong Returns 3D.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I just kind of wanted to have all this kind of stuff on there just for, like, went and bought a nice big SD card for it and then just kind of, like, put some money on the shop and just loaded it up.
Yeah.
And I played and finished Kirby Planet Robobot.
Oh.
That which is,
isn't the one that's coming out soon, right?
No.
That's the other 3DS one.
This is the 3DS exclusive one.
But then there's an Return to Dreamland was the Wii. And that's the one that's coming out on the Switch. Okay,
yes,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
Planet Robobot.
Robobot.
It's a bit of
redundancy in that name, right? Just robot.
Whatever,
or
it's
bot.
A particularly robotic robot.
Well,
I am a robot. That's what he would say.
I would have called it.
I freaked out Tommy's
dog. It's a robot with throat cancer using one of those speaking
I would have called the
game. You might be wondering how I, of all machines, could have gotten this. They built me cruelly.
Yeah, the dog absolutely hates this.
Does not like this voice. I'm sorry, QB.
It should be called Kirby and the Particularly Robotic Robot, then.
Okay.
Yeah, that's maybe.
How are you more robotic than a robobot?
Maybe in Japanese, that is what it was. And in the West, they're like, people aren't.
And it's the name of a planet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mars doesn't have, you know, bars on it.
No,
it's
that's
got
true.
Sand, mostly, is my understanding. Dirt.
Well, it's a 2D Kirby game. It's a great 2D Kirby game.
All right.
It's using the 3DS screen effect really nicely. You got these bits where, you know, you're crossing a street and you're seeing little cars kind of coming at you in the screen. really good stuff. You know, you're doing all your classic Kirby stuff. Level design's great. Very colourful. Looks awesome. You're sucking up people. You're getting their abilities.
Oh.
And then, about two-thirds of the way through each level, there's a little mech. Kirby's getting into his little mech.
That's like a reverse Kirby. Kirby normally becomes the things that he puts inside of him.
Yeah.
But he's getting inside of something and becoming it.
Kirby's in the mech, and then the mech is sucking up things and getting their abilities.
What the fuck?
So now you've got a mech that's like got a crazy buzzsaw, or it's like got big fucking, you know, rock fist things.
Yep.
It's sick. It's just a true, like, really, really fun game.
Yeah, nice.
Like, Kirby games are already like, you know, they're not taxing. They're just like, you go through, you got
kind
your
fun, creative,
fun
more
little
than,
bits
yeah.
of design and creativity, and then just them going like, how can we ratchet this up for one? It's kind of, I guess it's like the precursor to the mouthful mode thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How can we find like new ways that are just like very silly and give us license to do heaps of just like over the top stuff? I loved it. I thought it was, I had this weird impression memory from when it came out that it got kind of panned, that people weren't really into it. And then I just was looking it up a little while ago and it's like, no, people love this.
Yeah, right.
And so yeah, went in and think it maybe got slept on. But if you've got a 3DS and you like that type of game, you like a good 2D platformer that uses the 3D of the screen really well, check it out.
Cool.
Get on that eShop before it's
get on that eShop
done
before
forever.
It's too late.
Well, that reminds me, I got a message from friend of the show, Jonathan Schuster.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
A week or so ago. And it was so like just a message from someone who does not play a lot of video games.
Mm.
Because the message was, hey, I just...
help me, I'm stuck.
I think the game is trying to kill me in real life. It was like, I borrowed a mate's PS3. And I was like, oh, okay, this is already...
Okay, here we go.
Maybe outside my wheelhouse.
What's this like red, white and yellow fucking plugs? Where do they go?
Yeah, I'm sorry, my friend. That does not work anymore.
Is this shit written in the Spider-Man font? What's going on with that?
He was like, I was so excited to play Ratchet & Clank on PS3. And I was like, which... what? And I think there's like a collection of the older ones.
There's a bunch of Ratchet and Clank games on the PS3.
Right.
I know that he played the, not Rift Apart, but the one before that. The like first of the reboot ones. Yeah,
right.
And loved that.
Yeah.
Maybe he thought he could play Rift Apart, the newer one, by going further backwards into the PS3.
And there's HD versions of those PS2 ones. And he's getting mad at me for doing the voice from earlier. A PS3 for Ratchet and Clank? There's a new Ratchet and Clank on the PS5. Should go backwards to that. You got those You got those HD versions of the original ones, and then they put out like three PS3 Ratchet and Clank games. It's the home of Ratchet and Clank, as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe that's why he was so excited to borrow his friend's PS3.
Real gamers go to the PS3 for Ratchet and Clank.
I don't think we told you this,
but than we think.
We saw Schuster at a party a couple months ago,
mm.
And what game was it that he played? He'd played something recently. Was it maybe the first God of War?
Maybe, yeah.
And he hated it, and he was like demanding to come onto the podcast talk about why.
Well, you've had your day now. Yeah. But we've done it for you.
But he was so excited for Ratchet & Clank that he bought off eBay one of these PS3 versions. He was only borrowing the PS3, but he was like, I want to own this game. And then it was so scratched that it wouldn't play in the PS3. So he'd borrowed this one for the weekend.
Poor Shuey.
So excited. And his question was like, how do I get it on PS3? And the PS3 store is like basically shut down.
It's kind of fucked now. But you like can't add your credit card or something.
It's basically that. He went to buy it and was like, it's not letting me buy it.
And scratches on the disc is like the olden days version of an eShop shutting down.
Yeah.
And so like I looked it up for him and it was like, yeah, you have to like go into the PS app through your PlayStation 5, load money by, you know, bank transfer onto your account.
The 3DS is like that now. Right. Annoyingly. You buy it on the thing, you click purchase, and then it asks you how you want to do it, and you put credit card, and then it comes up like, you now have to go to this URL and put your credit card stuff in there and put the money on it from there. And
I would love to know how much a server costs to have this stuff accessible and the ability to make money off of it.
Right.
I would love to see the balance sheets on that.
I mean,
people keep websites up that are like Sailor Moon fan sites from 1997. Yeah. And that has to be I mean, maybe that's doing it for the love of the game, but
I would imagine.
Yeah, they're not doing it for profit.
Yeah. People are keeping this podcast up for a very long time.
Yes.
And I'm going to waste some of our time by saying, have we ever done Kirby Your Enthusiasm before? Have we ever said that?
It's never come out of my mouth. I can say that.
You should suck him up, Larry. No, I don't want him. No, yeah. I'm not going to do it. Mm. No, suck me up, Larry. You'll get my powers. Nah, I don't want him. Yeah. You know? And that's being kept up. How come you can't go buy a fucking Ratchet and Clank? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because Stadia got an official time of the 18th of Jan at midnight, I think,
midnight.
Central Time America.
Like a reverse launch, waiting up till midnight to see close
to see the lights.
To see the ribbon get taped back up again.
But yeah, I don't know. It should be like there's no PS3 store and everyone knows that and you can't be mistaken and it's not a fuck around. Just shut it down or just, leave it up.
These are global companies. Like, with the 3DS, I always do prefer when I can to, like, have the stuff physical. So I was looking up some of these games. I was like, maybe I'll just do, like, a big, you know, eBay order. And then something like, I kind of want to revisit that Kid Icarus game that was on there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's like every physical copy of that that's in a box is like $100 because it's like a rarity now.
I have to assume that they would shut the whole thing down fully if they could, but there's got to be some legal thing somewhere, probably in Europe, where they need to have it up for some amount of time. And that gets around this by making it technically not cost anything for them.
Right.
But you can go and waste them a couple of fucking dollars and download electricity. I don't know.
Mm.
I would love to get someone who knew a fucking goddamn thing to talk about this.
Well, especially now that there's like more and more things are coming out digital only. That's like a big issue for indie stuff.
Oh.
If these eShops get shut down and then it's like these games just don't, there's, you know, you can't even be like, oh, maybe I'll keep my eye out for a cheap copy of just the cart unboxed. And, you know, it still does exist out there in the world somewhere.
Yeah.
But if it's like Mutant Muds or something like that, you're just never going to be able to play that again.
They've created an industry where piracy is not only morally justifiable, but it's morally imperative that you do it to preserve it for future generations who won't give a fucking shit about it.
No, exactly. It's like,
we should still.
My question back to Shu, I mean, it wasn't. I was like, hey, yeah, I'll try and help. And then it was like, sorry, look in EB Games bargain bins. But it's like, why do you care? Why aren't you playing the new one?
Yeah.
And the old ones have value.
There's that company that does release And I think they do it particularly for Switch games that don't have physical releases. They do like
limited runs. Yeah. There's a few of them that will do like a boxed version of
and
something.
That's it, right?
They're very expensive and like sort of a different collector thing. But
if you care, like get one of those. Because if you want to be able to play this game that you supposedly love so much.
Sure, but even them, a lot of the times, they only make like a, well, as the name implies, a limited. Like, so a short hike is like an hour and a half game.
Right.
And they have a version of it that you can buy boxed for whatever, $40, but it's like comes with a map, comes with a little coin and all that kind of shit. But it's, they made like, I don't know, 1,000 of them or something.
Right. Well, and games are just so different in that they're locked to this specific hardware where there aren't really any movies, for example, that are locked to being on HD DVD only.
Yeah, there aren't
any books that are locked to a leather bound, but you know what? You've got
a specific stock of paper.
It's pretty
easy. It's an exclusive.
You can find some preserved digital version of the majority of things.
Like with graphic novels and stuff, there's like, you know, different versions. There'd be different releases.
Stuff
be full
goes out
color
of print,
and then
a lot of that's like collectory sort of stuff, though. Right? If you want to see the raw info that was in that comic,
A book is a better yes. It's just text.
Yeah, and you can find there's only one version of this thing because all the rest burned.
Yeah.
When I set fire to that library in Alexandria, it was me. But you know, like it's hard to play a PS3 game. Well, you can emulate
it
easily now. You got to borrow friends.
That's been your motto for years, hasn't
it? Yeah.
I'll always fight that everything should all be constantly accessible at all times. We live in a world where we've got pipes between every fucking computer that there is. We should all have everything. One mind.
The whole thing of like Nintendo putting a lot of porting so much stuff onto the Switch, probably more than they've ever done in the past.
Yeah.
I hate that shit.
But it's going to drive me insane if then they're next thing isn't backwards compatible.
Well,
you know what
be.
Because it's like
they gotta make money.
You know, this thing of like, hey, we've okay, now this like ideal library exists. Like, yeah.
Just keep your Switch.
Keep the Switch. I mean, I used to, when I was younger, I would like, get rid of a console eventually, get a little extra money, and then now that's why I kind of got all this stuff with the 3DS, because I'm like, I'm gonna get this all set up with everything I kind of want on it, and then it's just going to be the place where these games live if I ever want to go back to them.
It'll all rot eventually, I guess, but like...
What do you want?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think...
You have to just be okay with spending money for something that you actually love rather than getting convenience for everything.
But it's not about convenience. It's literally accessibility to them. Like, it's not possible to even get the...
But they're toys as well, so it's like... You don't need them.
No, but they're art as well. So they have like historical, cultural importance.
Then
to
buy
exist.
The physical release of limited run of A Short Hike,
but
I guess.
But that doesn't exist half the time for a lot of these things.
Well,
it's...
Oh, well.
See, that's what I know your ultimate
toys.
Point is. Yeah, I don't care. But I do care. And there are lots of people. Like, in 100 years, when we're studying this stuff, like, people said the same shit about at the BBC in the 60s. And they were like, tape over it. Who fucking gives a shit? It's Doctor Who. And now you can't watch that shit. And it's like...
But Doctor Who... is shit.
But it's a part of our... Well, okay, we should just have whatever Ben wants only sit on Ben's shelf and then we've figured out how to catalogue and archive.
I do think it's a very, like... it's a very... I don't know what you call it. Not selfish, but like... Because, people are going to come along in 10, 20 years who, can't... You know, even in our... Us kind of coming of age as video games were kind of evolving.
Yeah.
There's still stuff that I missed out on that it's like, God damn, how can you go back and just... experience this and have a go of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird problem that doesn't exist with anything
else. If you don't
learn
from the past, you're doomed to repeat your mistakes. And in a few years, we'll get fucking Buck Bumble coming out again. Because no one will be able to play Buck Bumble
made it. It is the fact that it's games and not movies and books. It's like... A lot of the old ones were not art. Like, honestly, if you...
But it doesn't mean there's nothing to learn from them if you're developing a new one. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a developer, having a library of every game is a useful tool to make new good games that you will want to play next year when they're up on the store for 11 seconds before they're like, it's too expensive. We're going to close it now. We made a mistake. We fucked up. We shouldn't have ever released anything. Skull and Bones is delayed. Fuck you.
Well, it's funny that there's a big, like... it doesn't really happen, as we're saying, with other mediums, but it does from time to time, and it is a big kind of story. Like, I don't know if you saw recently the band De La Soul. None of the, like, a bunch of their albums weren't on streaming because they didn't, something where they like didn't have the masters to, they didn't have the rights to them or whatever.
Yeah.
And they've just recently gotten them back. So now it's this like huge event, like 3 foot high and rising is finally making it to Spotify and Apple Music. It's like people going like, yeah, this is a classic album. Like, why is this so? And it's like, oh, it exists on CD, or go out and, you know, buy it from here, or watch it on, you know, it's like someone's put it on YouTube. It's like, yeah, but I don't want to. I want it in my Spotify. Like, I want to make a playlist.
I think that's the thing, is that like books and movies and stuff like that, like you can't legally buy every book and movie easily straight away. And I'm not necessarily even saying that needs to happen, where every video game should be instantly purchasable on the most modern thing. But there's no library equivalent where there is that, like, those big libraries, like the Library of Congress or whatever, where they have a copy of everything they can for posterity, for the future.
Well, and it's not everything.
That with games.
It's only things that are, like, noteworthy.
Well, yeah, but, like, so, everything that seems significant to put in there.
Yeah.
But then in you just can't tell what's going to be noteworthy as well in 100 years. People, like, I bet people didn't give a shit about Nosferatu at the time or whatever. You know what I mean?
I think they did. I think it was, like, nominated for an Oscar.
The problem is that I only know of the movies that people liked from back then.
Right. Yeah, the noteworthy ones.
I think, you know, like, Kelly Gang maybe even, or a lot of those early train ones, people at the time would have been like, well, who gives a fuck about this train coming towards
me?
There are. Now it matters.
But there are millions of books that went out of print and weren't preserved.
Totally.
Right?
And that sucks. We've got to keep track of it all. They just found out a thing recently about cave paintings, and there were these dots and lines on them that they didn't really know what they meant, and they figured out that it's the earliest form of language that we know of now.
Oh, cool.
Because it was marking gestation periods of each of these different animals, so they knew when to hunt them and when not to, so that they wouldn't, like, kill the entire flock of them by accidentally killing the pregnant mothers.
Right.
And Buck Bumble is just as important as that. We need to...
There might be something
in it. My point for
there
me.
Might be something in it that tells us in a million years something about what it was like to live today.
Can you imagine
that nothing else is replicated?
When we are future humans and we're just glowing orbs or whatever we are in that time, and coming back now and not being able to trace our history back to Buck to the Bank to the Bump to the Beat to the Biggity Buck Bumble.
But that is on YouTube because it's important enough.
But
to
YouTube
be
will
preserved.
Be deleted too.
Yeah.
Because they'll find a fucking half a swear word somewhere and be like, boo, yuck.
Oh. All right. Well, guys, what do you think? Does that wrap us up for this week?
Yeah, we had a bunch of news stories, but I assume we've gone long enough.
Yeah, there's not a ton of stuff that's like, I'll quickly, Simon Pegg's in that Hogwarts game. We'll play that in a month.
Yeah. Yep.
They talked about Redfall, Arcane did, and just kind of clarified that people are thinking of it as a Left 4 Dead, but it's more like a Far Cry. They're riffing on a Far Cry.
Cool. Yeah, it is funny that literally everyone was like, oh, it's Left 4 Dead, but Deadpool, Death Loop.
Yeah.
but it's not at all, yeah.
It's just got the co-op and it's in like a spooky setting, I guess, made it seem like that.
Yeah.
I think this was maybe the most interesting thing because I briefly mentioned how fucking Skull and Bones got delayed again.
Mm.
And Ubisoft has cancelled three other games that they were working on.
Yeah. Three unannounced games, so it's not any of like those...
Which is
Mirage
weird that, like,
or whatever.
Yeah, or like Beyond Good and Evil 2, which they still haven't fucking admitted isn't happening.
Could be one. That could be one.
Because stuff like, but it's been announced.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I think Mario and Rabbids and Just Dance underperformed.
Yes,
and
yeah.
They're like trying to cut back. So Ubisoft's in a little bit of...
But
they were like, you know what we'll do? We'll make a fuckload more Tom Clancy games and Assassin's Creed. Will definitely help. I mean,
All right, guys. Well, that is going to do us for another week here at Filthy Casuals.
You tuned into the news and they were like, hey, what did you do over the holidays? And at the end, they're like, oh, hey, by the way, George Pell died. Rot, you fucker. And we'll see you next week.
Also, like, we pre-recorded the news for the last 2 weeks because we've been off on break.
So we had a guess.
Took a stab at what we thought was going to happen.
Yeah, we spent the last 2 weeks boning up on some news we missed.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I've completely missed that COVID story in 2020. Yeah. And a lot of people really liked it. And yeah, it turns out Hades nuts.
All right.
That's what I wanted to say every time I've said the word.
Filthycasuals.com.au. We got the links to all of the stuff that we've got going on. Get on the Patreon. Get a bonus episode every week.
Yeah.
About movies, TV shows, all the other stuff that we engage with that's not video games. We've got the YouTube channel.
Or the Last of Us podcast will be the place to engage with us, not being video games, but about a video game show.
That's right. Just The Last of Us. I mean, that's where it'll be. We're not going to cover it on the bonus. It'll be there.
Yep.
Free for everyone.
Clicker, I barely know it. Get on there.
Yes.
Add it to your feed.
Link in the description, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, guys.
YouTube channel and stuff, like you were saying. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
preserve this episode. Leave it downloaded on your phone and everything else ever.
Or buy the physical release coming soon.
It's not enough.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run FutureTools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of Lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.